How was that? Listening to scripture in one version, but reading it in another. It's all good. Don't worry about it. The only reason I asked for it to be in NLT is because we studied this scripture on Friday night at Youth Fellowship. And I thought it would be cool to read it in a different translation, just to sort of not let it get stale. But that turned out to a really good exercise in active listening for us, I think. So that was great. We will be looking at it in NIV in the slides, so it's all good. So thank you, Christine, for reading for us. The body of Christ. That was probably a very familiar passage to a lot of us, right? Describing, right, how we as believers are supposed to function together as one. And just a quick refresher for how that metaphor works, right? For example, we have five different senses, right? We have sight and smell and taste and hearing and touch. And for you to be able to do anything, all the different parts of your body has to do its own thing, right? Your eye does the seeing and your nose does the smelling and so on, right? And if you didn't have a certain part of your body, then there are things you can't do. Your body won't function correctly. And so the Bible uses that as a metaphor to describe how us as a church, right, we need to be able to do the things that we are assigned to do in order to function together as one. And that's why the passage starts off by saying, right, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, and so it is with Christ. Right, so as a church, we are Jesus' body, we are his hands and feet, and we work together to accomplish whatever tasks or missions that he has given us. Now, like I said on Friday, we studied this passage, and from that, we had a couple of things that we got out of it, right? One, we should be supporting each other. We said that no role of one person is any more important or less important than anyone else. That we said that we are meant to be working together. And we also talked about how divisions in the church, we talked about divisions in churches and in denominations and what message that might be sending to the world, right? When they see that Christians don't necessarily work together well all the time. We also talked about practical applications, right? What it might look like if we were to put these teachings into practice, right? What would it look like for a church to not have divisions? What might it look like when believers in a church want to know people from outside their comfort zones? And we had a great example of that this morning when we asked our Chinese Sunday school to join us for breakfast. And it was just the first off, but there was some mingling going on, right? What might it look like to push ourselves out of our comfort zones just to get to know people outside of our usual groups? What might it look like that we're not just at church, right, but when we're here, we are actively wanting to connect with other people, with people that we might not necessarily know, that we're breaking down boundaries, that we're reaching out to groups beyond our own, right? And that we're not just doing that one-off, but we're also not just doing that all the time, right? But it is a part of our regular routine. What might that look like? And what might it look like that we demonstrate true compassion and kindness and care and support for each other? Now, I just want to say that I've been encouraged these past few years just seeing how that is an integral part of our DNA. Right? Like, we put in that effort, and like we know it, we've seen it, and there's always more that we can do, but we are doing that. And it was really encouraging for me on Friday night to hear that that DNA has been is a part of sort of our next generations too, right? Like, you guys also have that desire to connect beyond just your own group. And that is amazing to me. Like, that's not something that is easy to want to do. So, it's not like I'm standing up here telling you, hey, these are the things you need to do. You guys are already seeing this, you guys are already doing this, you understand it, and you want to see this in our church, which is awesome. So this morning, I'm not going to focus on just those big ideas. I just want to give you one extra idea to think about. And this is the idea of belonging, and what that might mean. Okay? Belonging. But before we do that, I want to just unpack one more thing. Just to clarify what we mean when we talk about the body of Christ. I don't think this is particularly new, but it is something I just want to emphasize for us this morning again, right? What does it mean when the Bible says that Christians make up one body? One body that is the body of Christ. Because there's a lot of ways that working together can look like. So let's start with what it's not, which is being by ourselves. That's one end of the spectrum. It's sort of off the spectrum, really. Being by ourselves. Because you might have thought this at some point, right? Why can't I, or couldn't I just be a Christian by myself? Right? And if being a Christian is just about you and God, then maybe you could be a Christian by yourself. Right? So why do I have to come to church and fellowship and all these things? Well, it's because Scripture rejects the idea that we can be Christians by ourselves. Right? For one, like we looked at this morning, it speaks of believers as a body. And so already there, it doesn't make sense to be just a Christian by yourself. But it also talks about things like how, for example, we are to spur one another on in love, right? That we're not to give up meeting one another. And it also says that it's our relationships with other believers that prove to the world we are Jesus' disciples, right? That's in John. Love one another because, I'm not going to try. I don't have it in my head. By this, the world will know that you are my disciples. There you go. Got it. So when we talk about a body, it clearly means more than one person. So then the next question is, well, what size group are we talking about, if it has to be a group? Are we talking about, on one end, small groups, right? Like a fellowship or an accountability group or a circle of friends? All the way through to, what would be on this side, right? Like a church? Or is it a country? Right? Or do we go bigger than that? Is it the world? What is the body of Christ? Well, as it turns out, well, one body means one body. So when we talk about the body of Christ, even though we can think about it in local terms, the big picture is always, right, it's much bigger than that. It's never just the local church. This was a good question that was raised on Friday night for us. Like, is each local church a separate body? And the answer is no, right? Look at what the Bible says. For we were all baptized by one Spirit to form one body. Right. Now tell me, is any Christian baptized in the name of a Spirit other than the Holy Spirit? Right? No. Because every Christian in the world is baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the same triune God. And so, it's important for us to remember that when we talk about the body of Christ, it's not just about local churches as separate bodies working together. And this is why I'm using this term, local church, this morning, to distinguish it from the universal church that every Christian in all churches of all nations and denominations together make up the one body that is the body of Christ. So Christians were not designed to live in isolation from other Christians because we all make up one body. And so that's what we mean when we talk about the body of Christ. Now, having said that, we can think of each local church as sort of a mini version, right, of the body. And I find it helpful to think of it like this. We could think of us people as sort of like the cells in a body, and the local church as like an organ, right, if that's helpful. So then the organs together can form the universal body, right? Universal church, one body. And so even though each local church is not the whole body in and of itself, we can still, in a local church, right, learn and practice what it looks like to be part of the body. And so that takes us to this idea of belonging, which is where I want to be today. This was something I noticed as I was reading this passage carefully. One, And these are ideas I want you to be thinking about this morning, right? One, it seems like the Bible is telling us that as a Christian, you belong to the body, whether you want to or not. And two, the people around you belong to the body, whether you want it or not. So, the first one, you belong to the body whether you want to or not. Verses 15 and 16 say, now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop belonging, being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And so being a part of the body is not something you can choose as a Christian. Right? If you're in, you're in. And this is why, right, in some churches, baptism and membership are tied together. Because scripturally, when you are baptized into the body of Christ, and you become a member of the body. And the reverse is also true. Other people belong to the body whether you want it or not. Verses 21 to 22 say, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Right? On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker or perhaps less important or less needed are in fact indispensable. And so do you see the two responses to belonging that are explicitly rejected by Scripture? Right? I cannot say, I don't belong. As long as I call myself a Christian, then community is a part of the package. And I also cannot say, you don't belong. If I call myself a Christian, you are my brothers and sisters. You are my family, full stop. Right? And just like the saying, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And that's a huge challenge. Right? Because if I'm honest, I know like maybe half the people in the room. Especially if you're an introvert, which I am, or if you just find creating relationships with people hard, which I also do, then that can seem daunting. Right? And you might be sitting there right now thinking, I didn't sign up for that. And legitimately, there are a lot of barriers to close relationships like that, right? Probably on the top of a lot of people's lists is time. Because at the end of the day, relationships take time and energy. And we only have so much of both. So yes, at some level, we probably do need to be selective about who our close friends are. Another barrier is sort of in groups, right? And this is probably more felt by people who joined us more recently, where you found, yeah, like in a church, people already know each other. And it can be hard to break into some of those existing groups. And then another obvious one in our church is language, right? So yes, many of us in this room can understand Cantonese, but our ability to converse in it is limited. And at the end of the day, that's just what it is, right? And and it's the same the other way around, right? Just this morning, I had a very tough but manageable conversation with some of, I met three people called Brenda and Julia and either Robert, okay, I couldn't quite tell. But yeah, Robert, right? And we had a meaningful, a little bit slow, but meaningful conversation. And we just had to, it was hard, but we did it. And we can go on, right? Like age is another obstacle. And I'm sure you could think of other ones. There can be any number of reasons to exclude either yourself or other people from the body. But I can't get over the idea that the Bible says, let me see. that the Bible says, even if I think I don't belong, even if I want to not belong, I would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. I also don't have the right to act as if someone else doesn't belong. If you are a Christian, you belong, and it's non-negotiable. So why? And I'm glad that the Bible tells us. It says, in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Right? God has placed the parts in the body just as he wanted them to be. So another way to ask this question is to turn it around, right, and ask, why am I here? Why are you part of a local church called CACC? Right, because why are you not at a church? You know, we have four churches on this street. There are four congregations that meet every morning. Why are you not part of a church down the street called River? Right, or why are you not part of a church across the street called Eastgate? Right, why CACC? Because those guys, they're thriving local churches too, right? Part of the same body, like we've said. So why here? And the Bible says, at some level, it's because God brought you here just as he wanted you to be. Maybe a friend brought you to CACC. Right? Or maybe you grew up in CACC. Or maybe you were born into this church. But no matter how you ended up here, behind that, the Bible says, you are here because God wants you to be here. You are part of a local church called CACC because God needs you here. Because you are an essential part of this part of the body, vital and indispensable to the mission that God has given this church. This sermon is titled, Mourn with Those Who Mourn, Rejoice with Those Who Rejoice, Part 1. Because that's where we're going to get to. We're going to get to what that looks like next week. But to get to there, we first have to appreciate the fact that every single one of us is a part of this community for a reason. And that even though there are all of those challenges I mentioned earlier with language and culture and age and capacity and all those things, they don't stop us from being a part of this body. And so the questions I want you to be pondering during this week. What does it mean to belong in a community? And why are you a part of this particular local church called CACC? Now, thankfully, the Bible gives us three starting points to help us ponder over these questions. Verse 22 is where we can start. It says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Okay, so, do you know which parts of the body seem to be weaker? Do you know what people in this church are going through? Now, clearly, it's not possible to know what's going on in 100 other people's lives. That's too much. We probably know what's going on in our small groups, which is great. But for the wider church, maybe there's a middle ground, right? Maybe we can just know in broad brushstrokes the sorts of things that people in our church are going through. Right, for example, did you know that our high schoolers are going through mocks, are getting ready to sit their mocks? Like, it's that time of the year already. Right, then that's just something that's good to know about what's going on in the body. Right, did anyone manage to learn anything about the Cantonese congregation this morning from breakfast? Right. I don't know, right? It's just a question to be thinking about. But this is starting point one. Has God led you to CACC because there is something you can offer to other members of this body? Maybe from your experiences, maybe from your expertise, from your knowledge. Question two, or verse two, the second verse to help us think, right? The parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Now, it's very easy to think about what I can give to other people, but sometimes it's hard to think about what other people can do for us. So I'm going to flip this around and ask you this question. Are you willing to let other people care for you and look after you, to give you special honor? Could God have led you to CACC because there is something he wants you to receive from this community? So I'm thinking things like, you know, will I allow myself to be honest and open and vulnerable to my brothers and sisters with whatever I might be going through, so that people that God has placed around me can care for me? I'm also thinking of slightly stranger things like this, and this is just a thought. Right? This is a random thought. But both Pauline and I feel very strongly about our heritage. Right? We are very proud of our Hong Kong roots. But for me, it's something I've been losing. Right? I just haven't been around close friends who sort of make that an important part of their life. And so did you know that CACC has had a surge of newcomers from Hong Kong? Right? I heard that up to one-third of the Cantonese congregation nowadays are newcomers. Right? And that's crazy. That's a lot of people. And we might not, I don't know how many of us are aware of things like that is happening in this church. And so, for me, I just see God giving me an opportunity to maybe revive some of my heritage. Right? In return, maybe I can encourage these newcomers in their faith, in their journey and transition to New Zealand. Who knows, right? But this is the question, right? Are there things that you might be able to receive from the community? And the last thing, the parts that are unpresentable, right? The parts that are hidden are treated with special modesty. And so do we know what the hidden parts are? But when it comes to our own bodies, we know what the hidden parts are. But when it comes to the church, do we know what hidden things are going on? Do we know what griefs and hurts might be going on beneath the surface? Do we see and value, for example, the potential that might be hidden in some of our younger generation? Are there things that we can learn from each other about from our cultural differences? And so the third starting point for us to think about is, has God led you to CACC because you have a unique contribution that will take the faith and mission of this local body to a new level? Right. I don't know for sure. These are questions that I want to encourage you to be thinking about. But I have titled this, right, Mourn with Those Who Mourn, Rejoice with Those Who Rejoice, because God has put a particular frame for looking at that idea on my heart. It's based on verse 26, which unfortunately I haven't put up. But verse 26, which says, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it, I think. And if one part is honored, all the parts rejoice with it. Right? And so for us to be able to do that, to start to think about what that looks like, we had to establish the rest of this passage first, which was that belonging to this community or to any part of the body is not our own choice. It's not other people's choice, but it's because God has placed each part in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And so I want to encourage you this week. We're going to just leave it here. But what does it mean that we are a body? What does it mean to belong in a community? And why are you part of this particular local church called CACC? And then next week, we'll explore one possible answer to those questions. Okay, let us pray. Father God, for each of us, you've created specially for your purposes. And somehow, in the midst of everything that happens, you have brought each of us together into this particular place at this particular time. And Father God, I just want to believe that there is a mission that you have given us to do together. And whatever that is, however we discern that together and move forward together, I just pray that you keep this idea in our hearts. That when we are here, while we are here, we belong. We are a part. It's not something that we choose for ourselves. It's not something that is limited by other people's acceptance or rejection. But we are here because you've brought us here. And so I just pray you open our hearts to this, to see each other in a new light, not just to be at church, but to be a part of church, to do what we can to break down boundaries and barriers, that even though there are many challenges ahead of us, give us the strength and the energy and the desire to work on those things, to break through those things. I just pray that each of us will grow into the people that you have designed us to be and to accomplish the purposes you've set for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.